Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him,
Kevin O'Sullivan.
So, we're about to sit down and do this just as another big story just broke, which I guess we really should kick the podcast off with. It's a pretty grim story, but it kind of feeds into all the things that we talk about most of the time.
Yeah.
Illegal migrants.
Yeah.
Abuse of women, abuse of children, murder. Yeah, it's horrible.
And being allowed to stay in this country. So it turns out, we're recording this just hours after this awful piece of shit, Irfan Sharif.
Yeah. From Pakistan.
Has been convicted of killing his own daughter, that poor little 10-year-old Sarah Sharif. Beating her up and chucking her down the stairs and all that. Anyway, it has emerged in his trial that he was only allowed to live here because of a sham marriage that he had in 2009 to this Polish woman.
Yeah.
Apparently, he'd been here for a fair few years. He came on a student visa.
Right.
He was working as a taxi driver and realised that in 2009 his time was nearly up.
Mm.
So apparently he zoned in on Polish women.
Right.
Because at the time, women...
He used to basically prey on women as well.
Well, but he was preying on Polish women because they're in the EU,
right,
or Poland's in the EU. Therefore, if he married a Polish woman, he could then stay in the country, which he succeeded in doing. And this poor Polish woman that he married, her name was Olga Domin, and her mother soon complained that this guy was beating her up.
Right.
She told the police that her husband was violent in the home more than one occasion. So at this point, right, when he married this Polish woman, he had to his name already a conviction for stealing 1,700 quid from McDonald's,
right,
who was a manager. In 2007, he was arrested for false imprisonment, theft and criminal damage after he kind of terrorised an 18-year-old Polish girl who he'd been going out with apparently since 2004. He locked her in the house against the will.
Unbelievable.
Took her passport and smashed her phone, threatened her with a knife. Was subsequently, because he married a Polish woman, was allowed
given
to stay here. So in other
remain.
Words, he exploited EU rules to be allowed to stay in this country, even though he was a serious, dangerous, violent fucking criminal.
Right.
This is a fucking scandal. Guess what the Home Office are saying? Well, because obviously the press are now currently, as we speak, phoning up the Home Office and saying, how come this fucking monster was allowed to stay in this country? Guess what their response is? We don't comment on individual
cases. You're joking.
Individual cases.
You are fucking joking. No. Well, they better start fucking commenting soon, because there's going to be a shitstorm around this.
Yeah. Well, as we know, you know, he went on to murder his poor little daughter. Mm.
Guilty of that today, right?
Yeah. He's just been found guilty. Yeah. He tried to flee to Pakistan, was caught by the authorities there, and returned here. I'm not sure what sentence he'll get, but let's hope it'll be life. Will be life. But I mean, this is yet another, day in, day out, we get these stories. These fucking pieces of shit who should not be allowed in the country. Mm. People who've just been released from prison.
Yeah.
People who are in prison that we don't fucking deport.
Right.
More than that, we just allow them to stay. What the fuck is going on in this country?
Because people, unfortunately, seem to be in charge of things in this country who don't have a fucking grasp of reality. I don't understand how they can put the welfare of somebody who is a violent fucking criminal ahead of the welfare of his family and his own kid, who he fucking brutally murdered because he is a violent scumbag. You know, he should not have any rights as a father. He shouldn't be allowed to stay in this country because of his child. But I bet you that will be the end result of what happened, that they'll have said, oh, well, he's got a right to family life, so we can't kick him out.
Yeah. What this reveals... Exactly, it's bullshit, yeah. What this reveals, I mean, the real story here is that the Home Office, the authorities, they don't look into people who want to claim the right to stay here permanently. Right. So they just obviously said about this...
They tick a box, don't they?
This utter cunt, Irfan Sharif. They've obviously just said, well, he's married a Polish woman, that means under EU rules he can stay in the country, end of story.
Yeah.
What they should have done and said, well, hang on a second, look at all these crimes, these violent crimes, this theft from McDonald's he's already got to his name, all these accusations of the women that he beat up and imprisoned and terrorised, they should just say, this marriage is a sham, fuck off.
Right.
But they don't investigate.
No.
They just say
say, you know, lessons will be learned.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough people to go and check on, you know, the whereabouts of this guy's family or the whereabouts of what he was doing, how he was living. You know, he was basically living in plain sight. He clearly didn't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
This is the thing, when you learn about some of these characters, that they commit one crime after another, they don't appear to get punished for it, they don't seem to ever go to prison. I mean, there's no record of him going to prison. And yet he's committed all of this violent crime. He's been violent against women. He's stalked women. He's fucking been violent against his own child. Social services knew about him as well.
Yeah, of course they did. Because
did nothing.
He kept getting reported. Yeah, they did nothing. Their view, he's got a right to stay. He got the same rights as being a British citizen because he was married to a Polish national there in the EU. He can stay.
And there may not be anything wrong with that, but they should fucking be able to tell the difference between somebody...
I think they should investigate individual cases. Yeah. They don't.
No.
They just, you know, and meanwhile, last month or so, two paedophiles, prolific paedophiles, have been allowed to stay.
Yeah.
Because they got a right to a family life.
Yeah.
Well, actually, legally, they're not allowed near their own kids anyway.
Well, exactly.
Yet,
because one of them was molesting his own child.
Yeah, and yet we say, oh, you can stay because you've got a right to a family life, because that's the that's the ECHR, the European Court of Human Rights ruling. I mean, fuck all this. It's absolutely fucking insane.
It's sickening, isn't it? And that poor little girl who didn't deserve that life she had with that fucking scumbag.
Yeah, and don't forget the reason he killed her was he was disciplining her.
Yeah.
Which was a naughty kid.
Right.
And apparently his forms of disciplining that poor little girl, we've all seen the pictures, 10 years old she was, obviously he beat her around, but he also used to chuck her down the stairs to punish her. Fuck's sake.
Unbelievable.
Fuck's sake.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Anyway, the good news is Saudi Arabia's got the World Cup.
Well, Saudi Arabia has got the World Cup, and of course there'll be the usual hand-wringing, won't there, from all the usual fucking suspects who go, ooh, let's write a column about how terrible it's going to be, and all the terrible things that they do. Of course, I wonder whether Sir Starmer will have anything to say about their human rights record now that he's been over to see Mohammed bin Salman. And done a bit of creeping and crawling around him to see if he can get some fucking money out of him.
Yeah,
because he has no shame, Keir Starmer. I mean, surely as a lefty and a fucking Labourite, he shouldn't be going anywhere near Saudi Arabia with a fucking barge pole.
Well, no, but our relationship with... I mean, the reason Saudi Arabia has got the World Cup. It's the same reason Qatar got the World Cup. You wonder whether
they paid for it.
You wonder whether the World Cup will ever happen in countries that don't have loads of oil money ever again. This is after one desert World Cup, we've now got another one.
Yeah.
Don't tell me they're going to play this fucking thing in the middle of the fucking
winter.
They
probably will, won't they?
And fuck up the season.
They
will. This is a fucking disgrace.
Yeah.
Absolute disgrace. And by the way, our relationship with Saudi Arabia, I mean, Keir Starmer didn't do anything, but for years, we've been selling them weapons which they then drop on the Yemen.
Yes.
You know, so we don't mind taking their money.
And we've also been helping them out militarily for
they've
a very long
time. They've got a lot of money, they've got a lot of oil, so we turn a blind eye. Cool. Just like fucking Keir just did.
Isn't that funny? That he has no principles at all. You know, who knew that Keir Starmer would just follow the money?
Yeah. What was he doing there?
How fucking useless.
I can't work out what the fuck
there's
he was
doing. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Somebody said to me, oh, well, it might have been arranged a long time ago. Well, I don't give a shit whether it was arranged a long time ago. It couldn't have been arranged that long ago because he's only been Prime Minister for 5 fucking months.
I mean, that, you know. Yeah, exactly. But that trip has got Foreign Secretary or Deputy Prime Minister written
or Business Secretary.
Written all over it. Right. Written all over it. Now, this fucking idiot, Starmer, can't wait to get on a plane.
That is what he is.
And get out of the country. I think, A, you know, he's been 14 or, you know, all those years in opposition.
Yeah.
You don't get to do much as an opposition leader. You don't get any of these glamorous trips.
No.
You don't get first class flights. You don't get private jets or being treated like a world statesman. You don't get any of that.
Right.
And I'm afraid that this wanker, Keir Starmer, is enjoying all
he's
of that.
He's obviously developed a taste for it.
He's enjoying all that shit way too much. If only because it gets him out of this country where everybody's now laughing at him.
This is the staggering thing. I mean, you see that story this week about the fucking redecoration bill where something like 130 or 140,000 pounds has been spent
grand.
By various fucking members of the cabinet to do up their offices.
Yeah.
Fucking Malt Miliband spent 43,000.
Fuck.
What's a cunt? What's he fucking? What is he fucking thinking?
Honestly, yeah, they are such hypocrites. £130,000 for these preening socialists to decorate their offices.
Yeah,
you know they're about as socialist as a fucking head
also,
of a
Ford
motor company.
I had a guy ring me who you know was a decorating you know specialist and says he does it for a living. He's like, it's almost impossible to spend £43,000 doing up an office unless you've been taken to the fucking cleaners,
they
obviously are.
But look at these.
Why would you pay that?
Look at these cunts. Fucking doing up their own offices.
Yeah.
Angela Rayner's hired her own personal photographer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knighting each other. Oh, Arias Sadiq Khan.
Yeah.
I mean, they're supposed to be fucking socialists.
No.
You know, they're acting like fucking high Tories.
No, no.
Wankers.
They are total wankers. Because they get into power and they think they're untouchable. And they think they can do anything they fucking like. And when somebody comes in and goes, oh, would you like to have some... I mean, Katy Perry was talking to me today about it.
Right.
You know, she was in Downing Street. She said, well, somebody came in and said, would you like some art? And she went, not really. No, that's fine. I'm quite happy with what's here.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, we can refer you to the art collection in the basement if you wish to, you know. And, you know, we can get you a new sofa if you want.
Yeah.
And you should just say, no, actually, I want the fucking minimal amount of fucking money spent. So whatever you think I need, I don't fucking need it.
Yeah, I'd like to be like, no, I'm going to put a Fulham poster up.
Yeah, I know.
Full team, first 11. Yeah,
absolutely.
Fuck all that.
And a Fulham calendar.
Yeah.
You know.
But this government, I mean...
They are literally every week, we say it. They get worse every week.
Hell in a handcart.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fucking hell are they doing? What are they doing?
They don't know, do they?
No,
they
don't know.
They fucking don't know. Because they've done the square root since we last sat here a week ago. They've done the square root of fuck all. All that happened was that fucking Starmer went to Dubai and Abu Dhabi and fucking Saudi Arabia, had a lot of pictures taken of him standing outside the big white mosque, make it look as if he met, you know, pictures of him meeting the fucking, you know, executioner in chief, old fucking Mohammed bin Salman. I mean, I bet he didn't go to Execution Square, which is what they have there, apparently. I wonder if they'll be using that as a fan zone for the... apparently there's a big fucking drain in the middle of it, right?
All the blood goes!
All the blood and all the fucking guts and all the fucking limbs, and they all go right into this big drain. and then they get washed out to sea.
Well, we're talking about those shitholes in the Middle East. Yeah. Syria, of course, has deconstructed this week.
Yes.
Slight few domestic
lovely problems. Part of the world.
Assad the tyrant is gone. And, of course, all the lefties at the BBC especially and The Guardian are going, oh, the light of a new dawning. Democracy descends. The tyrant is gone. Bollocks! In about 2 weeks' time, they will be fucking beheading people in the fucking main square. Just like the goddamn Taliban.
Hanging them on the fucking
They will. The fucking place will turn into a shit show.
Right.
And yet these lefties go, oh, there goes the tyrant. They think that when tyrant... I mean, you know...
Yeah, but hang on. They used to like the tyrant. Because when he first got in, they were talking about him being the great moderniser. Because he'd grown up... Because
his wife was London.
His wife was in London. He'd come to London to study ophthalmology, I think, wasn't it? So he was a fucking eye doctor. And they were like, oh, he's going to be absolutely fine because he knows the ways of the West and he's going to completely, you know, make sure that Syria is governed in a Western way. And within about a year or two, he was fucking killing people, you know.
Oh, yeah, and torturing them, you know. I mean, you know, he wasn't a nice guy. But it is interesting, you're quite right. Over the years, the Tories in particular... Not the Tories. The Tories have tried to get rid of him, actually. Labour have constantly tried to keep him in power.
We take you back to the old Lord Alley period. Lord Alley went to see him on several occasions and persuaded Ed Miliband not to fucking attack or not to vote with Cameron to attack the army
in Syria. Ed Miliband ordered... It was 2013. Mm. It was when Assad dropped chemical bombs on his own people. Yeah. Barack Obama said that you just crossed the red line in the sand
and then didn't do anything.
Well, I think he wanted to come in with us, and we said, yeah, well, Cameron said, yeah, we'll give you a hand, let's both do something about this. Miliband, then leader of the Labour Party, the opposition, got together with all the other opposition parties and they voted Cameron down. So Assad's continuing reign of terror, torture and tyranny is down to Ed Miliband and Labour.
It's extraordinary because you might think back to when he was in charge of the Labour Party. I can't think of anything that he did. But now that's the only thing.
I know exactly what he did, the fucking useless cunt, bog-eyed wanker. What he did is he pretty much destroyed the Labour Party. Don't you remember? Mm. For some reason, he said, let's democratise the way we vote for our leaders.
Yeah.
So he put it out. He said, anyone can join the Labour Party and anyone can vote.
That's right.
So remember, there are all these Tories joining
for five quid. Yeah,
And they all voted for Corbyn because they knew Corbyn would fuck the Labour Party up. It's all down to that utter fucking moron Miliband. He doesn't have a fucking brain.
No.
He doesn't have a brain cell. He's just got this sort of vacuum inside his fucking bog-eyed skull. He is the most useless fucking cunt who ever drew fucking breath.
I know. He really is. And the only other thing I remember him for was back when he was actually Environment Secretary under Gordon Brown. And he was the fucker that recommended fucking diesel cars. He said, now, diesel cars are definitely the way to go. They're going to be cheaper. The fuel's cheaper. They're better for the environment. And that all turned out to be a complete crock of shit.
Yeah.
It was all wrong.
Let me tell you, Miliband, if he wasn't, you know, in West... If you're a completely fucking useless moron, go into politics because it's the only area where you will prosper. So, Ed has done just that.
Right.
If he wasn't in politics, I'll tell you, he'd be on skid fucking row. Mm. He'd be in the gutter. Yeah. He'd be homeless. And yet, in politics, he prospers. Yeah. Unfucking
I don't even understand how he got into the cabinet again after
all of this. Well, because Starmer reveres him. Starmer loves him. Although,
surely that's another question mark over fucking Starmer.
Because when Starmer came into politics, when he was first MP, Ed Miliband was already a big noise.
Right.
Cabinet minister.
So, big nose.
Big nose.
Yeah.
So Starmer just viscerally looks up to Ed Miliband.
That's appalling.
Which is dreadful.
It's a real
problem.
Yeah.
Although I think he's beginning to realise that just maybe some of Ed's policies might not quite work out.
No.
Fucking unbelievable.
But I'll tell you, they're all fucking ridiculous policies.
You want to know who else is having a fucking bad week?
Right.
Harry and Meghan.
Oh, are they? Yeah, tell us. Well, what's going on?
Yesterday, I can't tell you about this. So yesterday, you know, it's been trailed for a couple of months. We've seen the trailers.
Oh, the polo thing.
Harry and Meghan, don't forget, produced.
Oh, of course.
By It says, produced by Prince Harry and Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex.
Fuck.
Or is it Meghan? Is it Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex? Yeah. Anyway, it's their project. Mm. And we've seen the trailer. It looked a bit pathetic. And then we saw, so yesterday, right. this is when the final series dropped on Netflix. So I wanted to get it onto my show last night, so we watched the first episode.
Right.
It's utter fucking shit. It is so...
This is the one that they're not happy about, because he's not even in it much.
He's not in it. Right. He's not in the first episode at all. He makes a brief appearance in the second episode, right. And then there are six episodes, and then he crops up for about 2 seconds in the last episode. It's basically just a bunch of South American cunts going on about how much they love polo.
Is it like a fly on the wall documentary?
Well, yeah, it's like a reality show with all these people going, yeah, I live and breathe polo.
Yeah.
We've got to win polo. Yeah, polo.
Fuck off.
And they get in a load of glamorous women and they get in loads of sports cars and all. They try and turn it into a sort of Grand Prix type thing. But the problem is, polo's a really shit sport.
Yeah.
Horrible to watch. Really boring, and all these people who are in the show are just utter cunts.
Yeah.
And the net result is it's really crap and sort of deeply, deeply, painfully boring.
Oh,
it's gonna die the worst kind of death.
But this is typical of them, isn't it? Because they've literally run out of road.
Yeah.
There's nothing now that they can do that will make any difference to the fucking world. There's nobody who really wants to fucking see them or talk to them or get anything from them. They're not even that big of a draw anymore, even for people, for charities, are they?
Well, Julie Birchall wrote a great piece in the Spectator last week saying that their problem is now we're just a bit bored with them. You know, we a year ago, 2 years ago, we kind of hated them because they were being so shit.
Because they kept coming out with stuff.
That's when they were releasing their documentaries about how we're all racist and the king's racist and he's a skinflint.
Right.
Giving that interview to Oprah Winfrey, all that.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah, so that's 3 years ago now, 3-4 years ago when they first got to America.
Mm.
And then we sort of hated them then. Now, we're just kind of a bit bored with them.
Yeah, exactly.
So they got no currency. Different. They're not of interest, really.
They're just
a couple of cunts wasting their fucking time on the West Coast.
Right. So, and there's many more famous people around than they are.
Well, yeah, and so she still cherishes the dream that they can be big film and TV producers.
Right.
Well, I think polo will put paid to that.
Mm.
It's just shite.
It's just such a stupid idea, though. I mean, anybody could have told them that. You know, if you're going to make a fucking movie about something, do something about the royals. Because at the end of the day, that's what sells, right? Yeah. Americans want to find out more about the royals, do something about the royals, even if it's a fucking load of old bollocks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Historical fucking, you know, documentary about, you know, the fucking Duchess of Kent or something. You
want to put yourselves in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as I say, I think their currency is grinding to a halt, but if they're going to make a series about polo, it should be Harry playing polo.
Yeah.
It should be Meghan going up to him after the game saying, oh, well played, Harry. Yeah. Google, you know, all this kind
of some of that good footage of her pushing people out of the way.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah.
When his team won, because his team always wins, funnily enough. And she went up to help them to collect the trophy.
Pushing.
It was like pushing people out of the way so that she could stand next to Harry. She wasn't allowing anybody else near him.
She's a fucking joke.
She's a piece of work. She's a
two-bit C-grade actress.
Yeah.
You know, who couldn't make the top in the acting and the showbiz world. So she married high and tried to sort of...
next big thing.
Tried to leap to the top of the tree. But he's too thick to do it. And frankly, so is she.
Yeah.
You keep hearing, oh, she's the clever one in the relationship out of the two.
Well, that wouldn't be hard.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yes, I'll accept. She's definitely
clever. As thick as a fucking fridge
door. Cleverer than Harry. But my dog's cleverer than fucking Harry. So she's a bit cleverer, but she's still fucking dim.
No, indeed.
Dim as arsehole.
Absolutely right. It's fucking embarrassing, really, isn't it? But, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've never really thought about them much lately, because, I mean, they are just fucking boring.
Yeah,
yeah. Who gives a fuck? Why don't we talk about reform?
Because
that's a big story this week. Because they got Nick Candy, a guy you know quite well.
I do know him,
and a guy I know a little bit, who suddenly decided he's going to give them over £1 million, and he's going to start raising funds for them to the tune of about 40 million quid. So I think they're going to be a fucking big deal reform now.
Look, Nigel
no Farage, question.
Nigel Farage last week stood up at the Spectator Awards where, amusingly, he was given Newcomer of the Year. He's not exactly a newcomer.
No.
I suppose he is to Westminster. Anyway.
Well, it shows you how Westminster
yeah, so
bubbly
you've got,
that is.
You've got the great and the good. You've got the entire cabinet there. Right. You've got the shadow cabinet. Mm. Everybody goes to that.
Right.
He stood on the stage when he collected his awards and said, let me tell you lot, time's up. Mm. We're going to win the next election.
Yeah.
Now, if he'd have said that a year ago, 2 years ago, everybody would have laughed at him. When he said it, you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah.
Stony silence.
Because they fucking know.
I'll tell you why, because they think it could well be true. The thing about Reform UK, I think they've got the zeitgeist. I think people are sick of the migrant crisis.
Yeah.
They're going to solve it.
Well, like the story we started the fucking show with this afternoon. Mm. This fucking scumbag who's now going to jail. Hopefully
exactly.
You know, they'll say, a bit like that guy Cadocaine, the fucking Nottingham killer. You know, he came in on a fucking student visa and overstayed and just fucking never went home.
So, the thing about Reform UK is there are always three men and a dog.
Yeah.
But Reform UK, with money and organisation, and the support of
people. Money's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. And the support of the people. The sky's the limit. Mm. And I think they're going to emerge as the dominant opposition
party. I agree.
Party.
And when you talk about the Tories, right, and funnily enough, talking about Harry and Meghan being kind of irrelevant, I feel like the Tories are irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, I get them, you know, get quite a lot of them on my show because they do the morning rounds or whatever when they appear on College Green.
Yeah.
And they don't get it. They don't actually get it. They think they've got it in the fucking bag to win the next election because Labour are so shit, making such a fucking mess of it. And they're going, oh yeah, well of course, you know, we're the only real opposition. They're going to get a fucking shock, I would say.
Yeah.
Probably before 5 years is up, because they'll probably get slaughtered in all sorts of local elections. And Reform looks like they're probably going to win control of the Welsh Senate, you know, because they've got fucking massive support in Wales. I think the whole system is on the brink of, you know, collapse.
Kemi Badenoch doesn't get it. And Kemi Badenoch keeps standing up in fucking Prime Minister's question time and trying to have a go at Keir Starmer about the migrant
crisis.
About
immigration, yeah.
Now, you know, Keir Starmer...
Which is pretty fucking stupid.
Keir Starmer's not very fast on his feet, but given that ammunition, he slaughters her every time. All you got to do... She goes, oh, migrant crisis, all the immigration, all he's got to do is turn around and say, well, you fucking did it.
Well,
you fucking did it.
Exactly.
You know, she's so very unwise of her to even use that topic.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really seem to, like most of her front bench, they don't quite realise they're about to get fucking slaughtered. So,
Not seeing it coming.
Yeah, so, you know, last couple of weeks we had Dame Andrea Jenkins, Victoria Grandier, we got Tim Montgomery, heart and soul of the Conservative Party for 33 years. And now, and this is the big one really, Nick Candy, former big donor to the Tory Party, suddenly this week became Treasurer of Reform UK, chief fundraiser, and immediately gave him £1 million. He's a billionaire.
And he's going to be able to raise more money as well because
he knows rich people.
Because he knows an awful lot of rich people. Absolutely. And he will bring loads of them on board.
So the money's going to pour in. And I'm in no doubt whatsoever, Farage keeps trying to shoot it down. But I'm in no doubt whatsoever that Elon Musk will give them that 80 million quid.
Yeah.
He's saying $100 million, so about 80 million quid.
Well, it's fuck all to
him. This kind of, it's like me giving you a fiver.
Yeah, right.
So,
did you see him, by the way?
UK are fucking, they're on the
did
ride.
Did you see Elon Musk in Paris, by the way? When he was walking around, he's got a fucking bodyguard contingent, better than the president, right? He's got like five guys all walking around him, all look like they're very fucking handy with a gun and probably their fists.
Yeah.
And he walks around like he's the fucking king of the world.
Kind of is, isn't he?
Because he sort of is. I mean, now that he's got political fucking sort of, you know, positioning as well, and what they call it, agency. He's now got the ear of the fucking next president. He's got a job working for the president, clearing out all of the fucking inefficient bullshit fucking public sector workers. And he's like fucking...
I think the
shit.
Way he sees it, don't forget, he gave Donald Trump $200 million to run his campaign.
Right.
And I think he sees that he helped change the face of American politics. and I'm in no doubt he wants to do it in Britain as well. He fucking hates Starmer.
Right.
He hates wokery.
Join the fucking club.
He hates wokery. He hates left-wing bullshit.
Yeah.
He likes Nigel Farage. He's going to fucking help them. He's going to change the
of
politics.
And, I mean, the only thing they need to do, I suppose, is make sure they get enough decent fucking candidates. But the more Tories that defect, and I think a lot more of them will, there'll be a tipping point, won't there? Because already the bookies have installed him as the favourite for the next Prime Minister.
When he said we're going to win the next election, everybody's taking him seriously.
Yeah.
The problem for the Tories are they are the only people on the front bench who don't seem to be taking him that seriously.
Right.
They think they've got it in the bag. Now, that's because people in Westminster are innately conservative with a small C.
Yeah.
What they don't see is that what I think outsiders can see, and that is the ongoing disintegration of the two-party system.
Yeah.
So I reckon Reform UK could well.
I think they could definitely be much bigger than they are now, and I think there's no question that he's got to be in the running to be the Prime Minister, which would be fucking amazing, by the way.
It really would, wouldn't it?
I mean, it would piss off an awful lot of people.
Yeah.
It'd be fucking fantastic.
That's what I always said about Donald Trump. I mean, I did want him to win the election for all sorts of reasons, and I think it is good for America. But and the main reason I wanted him to win was all the people who would be devastated and pissed off by his victory.
Yes.
Same thing with Farage.
Right.
It's all the Guardian readers who'll hate it.
Have you seen the state of the Guardian at the moment, though? The Guardian is fucked now.
They sold the Observer.
Because they sold the Observer. They all went out on strike, right? And they were like, oh, we're not having this. You can't push us around. You know, we're the great Guardian. And they went, yeah, fine, whatever. They just fucking sold it anyway.
They just said, go on strike if you like. We're still fucking selling it.
We're still selling it.
Take it or leave it.
And in fact, it's a very weird deal, isn't it? Because they've sold it.
To
Tortoise Media, yeah, which is run by a former BBC bloke. But it turns out that they haven't actually sold it in a conventional sense. They've sort of sold it, but they're also putting money in to buy it, almost, you know? So it's like they're subsidising their own deal.
Yeah, they're going to pay for the digital operation or something. But what it is it's not viable.
I haven't looked at the Observer for God knows how many years.
I get it every week.
Yeah.
It doesn't have much in it. But used to be a good paper once. It's not viable. It's not making any money. So you're right. The Guardian group basically just said, well, you know, you can have it for a quid.
Right.
We'll pay for some of the
right.
stuff. But, you know, we don't want the burden anymore.
Yeah.
So Tortoise Media, good luck with that.
Yeah, because they don't make any money either. So
of course they
fucking, ridiculous. Well, anyway, we've reached the end already. Of another half an hour of another podcast. We're getting near Christmas, so I suppose next week
Christmas
might be the last
special
one.
Next week.
Christmas special next week, and then off for a couple of weeks, I suppose.
Off there, and then we must get a live show together.
We really keep saying
100%.
We must do that.
Well, we can in the new year.
We can try. We can try very fucking hard because
we've
been a bit cunty this year, but it's been a bit difficult.
Odd year.
It has been a bit
busy
of a weird
year.
Bit of busy year. Yeah.
Anyway, you cunts, fuck off.
Yeah, don't fucking do anything stupid, twats.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.